Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. It is good to be here tonight. And you know, if we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, it's a wonderful thing. If we know the converting power of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful thing. Oh, wow. I just thank God that, you know, He comes into our life and He truly changes us. And, you know, things are not the same after that. There's a night and a day, you know. But praise the Lord when our God comes into our life. Oh, yes, the old tables, the old ways, the old stands all go in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, it's a wonderful thing to be converted by the saving power of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Oh, yes. You know, there's a lot of pretenders out there. There's a lot of people that, you know, are believers, but they don't really know the whole converting process. They don't really know what it's like to truly be born again. Oh, yes, to be at that place where things have changed. Life has been turned over, and you know, it's a new day in one's life because, yes, God makes all things new when we truly give our lives to Him. No, it's a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray here as we begin tonight and ask the Lord to help us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You, God, that we can come before Thee, Lord. God, we thank You that You know all, God, how to help us in all our ways, God, in all our needs. Oh, God, You see, oh, Lord, every situation, every problem. Oh, God, You know, oh, God, the pain that some people bear. And You know, oh, God, the needs, oh, Lord, all around. I pray, oh, God, that You would help us tonight. I pray that You'd give us faith. I pray that You'd inspire us. Pray that You'd use this message, Lord, for Your name's sake and, oh, Lord, for Your kingdom's sake. Oh, Lord, that You'd help us, God. Oh, Lord, we could do nothing without You, Lord. We need You right here tonight, Lord. We need Your presence to come down. We need that new touch. Oh, God, we need You, oh, Lord, to talk to our souls and to help us, Lord. Oh, God, we come before Thee, Lord. We ask that You'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that You'd use this message. You'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Oh, God, that You'd help us, Lord. We're all pilgrims. We're strangers down here, Lord. Oh, God, we have need of Thee, Lord. Oh, God, we have need to get closer to Thee, Lord. Oh, God, we have need, oh, Lord, to line up our lives according to Thy Word. I pray that You'd speak to us tonight. I pray that You'd help us here tonight. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that You'd have Your way in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. That Your presence would come down, Lord, that You'd talk to us. Oh, Lord, that You bind, oh, God, every spirit that would be contrary. Oh, God, everything, oh, Lord, that is not of Thee, Lord, let it be cast aside. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help us, Lord. Oh, God, be with us, Lord. Be with Your people. Keep them safe, Lord. Oh, God, over any prevailing storms or winds or waves or anything, oh, God, that would be contrary, Lord. Help us now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, let Thy perfect peace still, Lord, storms. Oh, God, to be there, Lord. Oh, God, to keep Your people, Lord. Oh, God, to move in Your people, to save Your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give it all to You, Lord. Have Your way, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, let the devil be rebuked. All his cutting and devices, let him have no way. Oh, God, talk to our hearts and help us in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord. Amen. It is good to be here. We do serve an amazing God. Oh, you know, we don't begin to know how He has helped us. So many things that could have gone so wrong. You know, yes, maybe we had little troubles here and there, and you know, the apple cart was overturned at that point, and oh, yes, we had to scoop down and pick it all up again. But, you know, that's life. And the Lord allows certain things to help us, yes, so that we will become stronger, and, you know, maybe even to test us to see what kind of faith we have. And, you know, maybe somebody's watching us, and, you know, they want to see, you know, what comes out of our mouth when things aren't going quite right. But praise the Lord, again, if we've been changed, By the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh my, we can overcome. We can get through all those circumstances. He knows how to give us a peace that passes all understanding. He knows how to still those storms and how to help us. Oh, He knows how to change our night into day. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the name of the Lord Jesus. We are actually going to be talking about a subject that the Lord brought up. I'm going to call this message, The Night Cometh. And we're going to just be talking a little bit about some of the things that Jesus urged in His ministry. We know that if He was on this earth, it was a rather short span of time that He had to bring forth the gospel message and to do those works that had been written. But you know, Jesus went about I am using that little time that He had with a great urgency and a great mission always in mind. And He went forth and accomplished that which was written. He accomplished His Father's will. He went forth and did it all. And it's an amazing thing, but we see that, you know, He had a very productive ministry. And, you know, we read of times when He tried to get away slightly, and it seemed like it didn't work for very long, because even if He was just trying to get away to sleep, seems like the crowds would soon gather around Him and crowd around Him. And, you know, we'd feel that urgency to deliver a message or to heal the sick, to deliver those that were bound. Oh, yes, to bring hope to those that were hopeless. Oh, that was our God. And it seems like every minute that He lived, it was productive. He was doing something. He was ministering in one way or the other. I could truly say that, you know, He had one mission. He had one goal. His eyes were set on that ministry and the need to accomplish it, the need to prevail, the need to go forth. It was very much with a single eye, with one purpose, one goal. And I know just from looking at His ministry and what He accomplished, oh, we can learn so much, can't we? We can see so much. Oh, yes, as He went about doing good. Oh, it wasn't an easy thing, was it? He had a lot of opposition. Oh, there were a lot of unbelievers all around and skeptics when it should have been so obvious who He was. And, you know, the things that He was doing, they were things that no ordinary person could do. But in spite of that, yes, many did not see or understand or acknowledge Him. I'm so thankful here tonight that as these years have come to pass, as, you know, 2,000 years since Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, here we are tonight. And I thank God that that gospel message is still continuing, that we're still preaching it, that God is still doing the work. And yes, that hand of God is not shortened, that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy, that it cannot hear. But who will hear? Who will listen? Oh, yes, there's a lot of unbelief. There's a lot of hardness of heart. But I thank God. If we are at that place where God has opened up our understanding, where God has opened up our hearts, and we can come here tonight to draw from the strength that He would give us. Amen. Let's look here at Matthew, the 9th chapter. And, you know, just throughout the Gospels, we just see many, many mighty works that He fulfilled and did. You know, even in this 9th chapter, we have, you know, a man that was sick of the palsy that Jesus healed. And Jesus also forgave his sins, which astonished the people. But yes, he healed the ruler's daughter. Oh yes, that was actually dead by the time he arrived. But he made her whole, didn't he? Yes, that did not stop him. And on the way to that destination, he healed that woman who had the issue of blood. Praise the Lord. That woman who stooped to touch his garment, believing that if she could just touch his garment, she would be healed. Well, I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to touch Jesus. Oh, yes, it's a wonderful thing to feel his power and to know that he is real. And oh, yes, to feel that charge that he gives when we touch his garment. Oh, praise the Lord, and know that something has happened. Oh, I thank God. I thank God for our prayer meeting on Sunday. I hope this will be one of many that we will have in the future if the Lord gives us time. But I'll tell you what, it was so wonderful to bring all those requests and petitions before the Lord. But it was really wonderful, too, when hands were laid on many of us, and the Lord worked in that way too. And I can say, when hands were laid on me, I'll tell you what, I felt something. I felt a touch from the Lord. And we don't always know exactly entirely all that he did, but that it was Jesus. It just, just a little bit of a sense of his power and his might and his ability. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be touched by the Lord. And so that woman who had the issue of blood, yes, oh, how wonderful it was for her, to touch Jesus' garment and to feel, that she was healed of that infirmity. Praise the Lord. And Jesus could tell, he could feel that virtue had gone out of him, that somebody had touched him in faith. And what a difference it made. Oh, yes, in this chapter 2, there's those two blind men that were crying out after him, crying for mercy. And Jesus stopped, to ask them if they would believe that he was able to do it. And they said, "Yea, Lord." I love how he touched their eyes and he said unto them, "According to your faith be it unto you." Oh, yes, as you believe it in your heart, let it be unto you. And praise the Lord, their eyes were opened. And Jesus charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But I'll tell you what, it's pretty hard to keep the good things of the Lord without acknowledging them and sharing them. Oh, yes, they departed and spread his fame all over in all that country. And that wasn't the end of it there. There was a dumb man possessed with a devil. And Jesus cast that devil out of that man, and that dumb man spoke. The multitudes marveled and said, "It was never so seen in Israel." Oh, yes, they had never seen the casting out of devils ever before. But Jesus Christ did it. Oh, yes, he had come to this world. He'd come unnoticed and unknown. Oh, yes, by many, many. And yes, he was accused even, such as he did. How could you say that he cast out devils by Beelzebub or by the prince of the devils? But the Pharisees accused him, did they? Oh my, such as was never seen before in all of Israel. It tells us in verse 35, though, as this chapter ends, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." And it tells us in verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Oh yes, that request that Jesus asked, that we would pray that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Oh, the need was great. It was great back then. The people, oh yes, were fainting. They were scattered. They were like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus saw it, and his heart was moved, and he had compassion toward them. Oh yes. And he touched them, didn't he? And he made them whole. Oh, so many of them. Oh, yes, Jesus went about doing good and fulfilling all that was needed to be done. We look at Mark, the 6th chapter. We see just a similar description here. We look at verse 53 here, the very end of Mark, chapter 6, 2. It says, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. Oh, the people, yes, they were waiting for him. It was like Jesus had very few moments alone. You know, if he disappeared for 5 minutes, it was almost like they were already wondering where he was. So they were waiting for him, because after he had fed the 5,000 and done that wonderful miracle, he kind of disappeared, it seemed, to them. And they obviously were watching and tried to figure out where he was going to go next. But yes, when he came into the land of Gennesaret, this region of Galilee, it tells us here, and when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. Yes, he'd been on the ship, yes. Amazing story there too. And this is what they did. It tells us in verse 55, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. You see, there were needs here and there and everywhere. And when they knew where Jesus was, oh, they began to go about that whole region, it tells us here, round about. Oh, yes, and they gathered the folks who had infirmities, who had sicknesses, who had needs, and they brought them to Jesus. It tells us in verse 56, and whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Oh, praise the Lord. What a touch from God Almighty does. God robed in flesh, the man Christ Jesus. What a wonder it does. Oh, yes, if we can just touch even the hem of his garment. Praise the Lord. And that also shows us what faith will do. Let's also now go to John, the 9th chapter. And here we have another story. And it tells us in verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And I'm sure they had passed by this man probably many times. I think it was well known by the folks there that, you know, this man was blind. And he had been blind from the day he was born. And so it seems that there was something they always wondered. And at this moment, it came out. If we look at verse 2, it says, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Tells us in verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. See, there, back in those days, they figured if, you know, you had that kind of infirmity, it was because of sin, one way or the other. And, you know, they didn't know if it was because of the man's sin that he was born blind, or was it because of his parents? So this was the question that they asked. I like how Jesus said, neither. It wasn't because the man sinned, or it wasn't because of his parents. But he said, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Oh yes, God was going to use this man's infirmity to bring forth a work, to show forth his power. Oh yes, to make a declaration. And then Jesus said in verse 4, and I'm using this verse here tonight to bring forth my message. But listen to this here, as Jesus declared it. It says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And it tells us in verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. So this is another work of our Lord. And as you know, we mentioned, you know, that urgency that Jesus obviously felt there during those 3.5 years of his ministry. All that urgency to accomplish his Father's purpose, to accomplish that mission. And here it is, he declared, you know, that he had to work the works of him that sent him while it is day. See, he's feeling that. He's feeling, you know, that urgency, as I just said. You know, I've got this little bit of time. You know, I'm sure Jesus knew his limitation in that respect, that his days were numbered and that he was going to go to the cross. I mean, well, obviously he knew that because he would even declare it at times. But he knew that there were things that had to be accomplished in that short duration that he had. And so, yes, you could just feel it here as he stated, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Because, yes, he realized that the night was coming. The night cometh when no man can work. Oh, yes, he could sense that. And here we are, 2,000 years later. And we can still feel that great need. Oh, yes, and even how much more. Here we are, children of the living God, if he has called us and changed our lives, and we have responded to the gospel. But here it is. Jesus came as the light of the world. But praise the Lord, that wasn't the end of his ministry, those 3.5 years. Oh, when he went to the cross, that was not the end of his ministry, was it? Oh no, death could not keep him down. He arose from that grave. And then he ascended into heaven. But praise the Lord, there was something that he sent back. Praise the Lord, he was not going to leave his people comfortless, was he, by any means? No, he was going to come unto them. This time it wasn't going to be that he was going to be in person, in view, so we could see him and we could touch literally that hem of his garment. But no, he was going to send forth his Spirit, so he could be in us. Oh, yes, so he could abide in us and we in him. And, oh, yes, those works that he had done we could do also because he went unto the Father. Oh, praise the Lord. He knew the great need. Oh, yes, he said in the 14th chapter of John, verse 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Oh, yes, that mission that he had, he passed down, didn't he? He passed it down to his people. He said in verse 13 here in John 14, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Oh, praise the Lord. He said in verse 19 here, "Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." Oh, praise the Lord. He had it all laid out, didn't he? Oh, the perfect plan of God. You know, Jesus would come to this world, God robed in flesh. Oh, yes, the man Christ Jesus, as the Son of God, as the flesh of God, he would come to this world and do these amazing things. Oh, yes. But he knew that, yes, his ministry was going to be short in duration. But praise the Lord, he was going to put his Spirit within his people so that, oh yes, they could complete that which he'd begun. Oh yes, it could be accomplished. All that was necessary. And here we are again, 2,000 years later. Approximately. Jesus had spoken about that time when the night would come, when no man could work. And I think he knew exactly what was in mind there, what he was saying. I'm sure these were not just words off the top of his head. No, he knew precisely what was ahead. Oh, he knew everything, you know. It's such a wonderful thing, you know. He knew those that would follow him. He knew those that would believe on him. He knew those that would come unto him. And I love how it is, even in that 17th chapter of the book of John, how he prayed for us. Yes, he prayed for those that would follow. He prayed for those that were with him then at that time. But he prayed for us also, those that would follow, those that would believe on him through their word, through the word that was written. Praise the Lord. And he did pray that we would be taken out of this world, but he prayed that we would be kept from the evil. Kept from the evil. Oh, what a wonderful prayer that was there in John the 17th chapter. But, you know, just as Jesus, he healed this man who was born blind. And what a story this is. The whole experience is quite amazing and you know, astonishingly, you know, the skepticism of these people who actually witness this event. It's really something that's hard to understand how they could see it. But you know, I thank God that man that was born blind, that was healed, he could see and he could understand. Oh yes, he told those Pharisees to their face, those skeptics, those unbelievers, you know, that, you know, they disputed, you know, they reviled him. You know, they said, you know, we are Moses' disciple, you are his disciple. Oh, how they despised Jesus. You know, they said, we know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Oh, I thank God that not only did this man have his eyes opened up in the physical sense, but you know, his eyes were opened up in the spiritual sense. And here he was, you know, such as he was, he could tell those Pharisees, those skeptics. He could say, why, here is a marvelous thing, that you know not whence, from whence he is, and yet he had opened up my eyes. He said in verse 31, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Oh, praise the Lord, I like the boldness of this man. And I just thank God, not only were his eyes open in the physical sense, but yes, he could see. He could see who Jesus Christ was. And here he was telling these people who were the religious leaders of the day. Oh, it says in verse 34, they answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. See, they couldn't get away from that. You know, they insisted because he was born blind that it had because of sin. And so they just, oh, they're scorning at him. Thou wast altogether born in sins. And dost thou teach us? Oh, they just couldn't bear it, could they? You know, that such as he would tell them the truth. And you know, it says they cast him out. Oh yes, the parents were afraid that if they, you know, said it was Jesus who healed him, that, you know, they would be cast out of the synagogue. A lot of people are afraid that they might be cast out of their church. You know, maybe have nobody to bury them if, you know, they leave that church, that organization, that fellowship. But oh yes, this man had found something greater than the religions of this world. Oh, yes, he found something greater. He had an understanding that Jesus had come into the world and Jesus had opened up his eyes. Oh, praise the Lord. And you know, they cast him out. They cast him out of the synagogues. He tells us in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Oh, praise the Lord. How wonderful it is when the Lord makes himself known to us. Oh, when those blinders are taken off our eyes, that veil goes off and we can see and we can understand. Oh, yes, and we can find the living Savior. Oh, what a wonderful thing it was. What a moment. Oh, yes, that man. Oh, yes. They cast him out of the synagogue. Oh, yes, they didn't want him in there. Because, yes, he acknowledged Jesus. He believed on Jesus. Oh, and they didn't want that, did they? But he had found a great truth. Oh, yes, he found the Savior. He had found the one who is both Lord and Christ. The Redeemer, the Messiah, the one. Oh, yes, that God brought forth as the Son of God. And Jesus said in verse 39, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If you are blind, ye shall have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." In other words, they couldn't see the Savior. They couldn't understand their great need to bow their knees, to surrender their will, to get right with God. Their need to repent, they couldn't get that. Oh yes, their sin remained. They were blind to the reality that God had manifested Himself in the flesh and come to this world as the Son of God. Oh, they were blind to that. Oh, I'm so thankful for what God has shown us here. The things that we can see. Oh, yes. It's a wonderful thing. Oh, Jesus came into this world to accomplish His Father's will. Oh, yes, to do those things that had been written in the book. Oh, yes, all the prophetic utterances that were to be fulfilled. And yes, I know each and every one of them was fulfilled precisely and exactly. Oh yes, just as it was written. In John the 4th chapter, verse 34, it tells us, "Jesus saith unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, 'One soweth and another reapeth.' I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors." Oh yes, but you know, Jesus had one mission there, one goal, and that was to do the will of Him that sent Him, and to finish the work. Oh yes, that was all just what He was looking at straight on. That is why He was going forth as He was. Yes. Oh yes, the people would say, "Yes, there's 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. 4 months in the spring, and then cometh the time of reaping, the time of harvest." But Jesus was talking about a spiritual harvest. He was seeing the needs. He was seeing the people that were fainting, that were scattered, that were sheep without a shepherd. He was seeing needs all over the place. Oh, there was a mission. There were things that needed to be accomplished. Oh, yes, there were blind eyes that needed to be opened. There were deaf ears that needed to be opened. Oh, yes, there were dumb people who needed to talk. Oh, there were devils that needed to be cast out. Oh, there were so many needs. Oh, that needed to be accomplished. Oh, even at that time, it was time for them to lift up their eyes and look at the fields, for they were white, ready to harvest. And yes, for those that reap, there are rewards, there are wages, there is an inheritance. And here He says, "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, our life, our mission down here is not very long. We live on borrowed time. You know, we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow may hold. We don't know what's up the road. We don't know if we've got a year to accomplish something. All we know is we have the moment. We have the moment. And one day, soon, yes, that trump of God is going to sound. and it's all going to be over. Oh, yes, it's all going to be accomplished. It's all going to be fulfilled. It's no wonder Jesus said that I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. While I have a little time. Well, yes, you know, I'm still here. I've got to get these things done. Because, yes, there's a night coming. There's a night coming when no man can work. Here we are. Down the road a bit. And we are seeing things right now that have never been seen before. We know that Jesus Christ is coming again. We have that deep in our hearts, but before He comes, we know that there is a work that must be accomplished. There is a harvest that needs to be brought in. For one of these days, yes, God Almighty is going to put in the sickle and reap the harvest. But here we are down the road, and we are seeing all kinds of things. I know Brother Samuel wrote about that supercomputer that they are working on right now at this very time. It's being prepared. You know, it's scheduled to be ready in 2021. Just you know, down the road, we bet. The computer is so fast and so capable in their eyes that it can process 1 quintillion calculations per second. I know Samuel wrote that a quintillion, and I think that must be a new word. I have a feeling he is 1 billion times 1 billion. Now, come on, I can't fathom that. And this is a supercomputer that they're putting together right now, being built for the Department of Energy, named it Aurora. I'll tell you, we're seeing things. I don't know. How can we be in denial with all these things that are going on? Samuel also wrote about that neuroscientist professor, Northwestern, that's just designing a smart chip that will be placed in the forehead. Yes, to manipulate the brain, to increase human intelligence, so to speak, in his thinking. It's, you know, that's a plan, that's in the making, you know. I think they'll have it ready in another 5 years or something like that. I dare say with what we're seeing, it is that time when, you know, evil man and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, deception is quite a key word in this time that we live in. You know, in Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus had a bit to say there as He talked about this end time. Oh, yes, He was talking about, yes, the time when the temple would be brought down also. But yes, he's also talking about the time right before His second his return, his second coming. And in answer to that question that they asked here in Matthew 24, verse 3, "And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?" Tells us, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Oh, yes, and we have seen and heard of such. Oh, I know there are many right now who make such a claim. Besides, oh, all the deceivers in the pulpits. here and there, you know. There's a, you know, our current, that current pope, I heard recently that I had a sermon that declared that the cross was a failure. I'll tell you what, we are seeing apostasy in such a great way. And yet people clamor after it. People follow after it. People seem to want to have it. You know, they would rather have their ears tickled than hear the truth. But oh yes, deception is great among us. It tells us in verse 5 here, Matthew 24, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." Oh, such as we are seeing even at this time. And oh yes, can you believe that, you know, people would be so evil that they would actually go to laboratories and try to, you know, take a virus or bacteria and make it worse. Oh yes, energize it so that it would cause major calamity, a major pestilence, if it was released. Oh, we are seeing things. It says all these are the beginning of sorrows. And it talks about, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." And we, you know, that followed. Those that followed Christ, we see that in the epistles. We see that in the book of Acts. You know, we see that in the book of Revelation. It says, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many." Oh, yes, that word, deceive. It's all over the place, isn't it? "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Oh, I believe that describes the moment that we live in right now. Oh, there's iniquity all over the place. People no longer know what is right and what is wrong. There is major confusion. So I've said many times before, I look at some of the blank faces, especially of the millennials and you know, even older people. Many times you look at them and they don't know anymore. They think they can live in fornication and be saved, you know, or in adultery. They think, you know, they can smoke pot. Oh, it's okay, and all kinds of things that are contrary to the plan of God. Oh, it's a time of confusion. Oh, people have been led astray, yes. Again, yes. Oh, the false prophets, false preachers, all of them that declare things. I heard that, and the politicians too, that, you know, I heard that Bernie Sanders made a declaration that Jesus Christ was a fraud. And here we are. We're in a time when, you know, people are following after socialism, communism. You know, it's a turn-up world. Everything has gone in a different direction from former times. But yes, we are told here in verse 12, here in Matthew 24, "And because iniquity shall abound," it means, oh, it's all over the place. You know, because, you know, well, everybody seems to be, you know, doing this or doing that. You know, people lie, people swear, people curse, you know. Oh, you don't have to go very far to hear nasty, nasty words. And all of that, you know, is all over the place. People hating one another. Oh my, we just have another shooting in Beaver Dam. Oh yes, in this little town, you know, was a murder a few weeks ago, and now there was another shooting. A woman who, yeah, killed her boyfriend, or whatever you want to say. Or she didn't kill him. She shot him. He's alive, I believe. But, you know, that's the world that we live in right now. Oh, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, you see it on the screens. You hear it all over the place. You know, it's declared on the, in the headlines, in the magazines, all over the place. Iniquity, iniquity, you know, the people that, you know, are praised and worshipped, so to speak, are nasty people who have no morals, who don't live for God, and yet, you know, they're promoted and they're, you know, idolized in this world that we live in today. Oh, I'll tell you what, yes, iniquity does abound, and yes, the love of many has waxed cold. Oh, people, they don't know anymore that love for the truth. Where is it? It's so gone in so many cases. Almost all cases. Very few people who have a real love for the truth. But in the midst of all that, in the midst of this world of apostasy, rebellion, and trouble, iniquity, in the midst of it, but he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the Lord puts something in our hearts. Oh, yes, that, you know, it's going to take us through these wicked times that are prevailing. The warrant also, as this chapter continues, the next portion of Scripture talks a lot about them fleeing from Judea, and that happened in 70 A.D., and thank God that this word was given, because they knew where to go and how to respond. But now, we look to the end of the world. And it says in verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." And I love this verse because, you know, it tells me, oh, you know, they have planned horrendous things, you know, more than we want to know. If you want to read their blueprints and know all their junk, I'll tell you what, oh, it's not good. It's not anything you want to think about. But I know one thing, God's going to shorten the time. He's going to shorten the days. All their plans, all their schemes, oh, are not going to come to pass. Oh, no, because the Lord is going to shorten those days for the elect's sake, it tells us. Because otherwise, he's talking about a world that would be so bad that there would be no hope, except those days should be shortened. There should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. It says, "Then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." You know, I think we better take heed to this. You know, there's many antichrists in the world. There are many antichrists in the time of the apostles. Those that did not profess Jesus Christ were antichrists, according to 1 John. But I'll tell you what, we're living in a time where, you know, they might try to say, "Lo, here's Christ." But he tells us very clearly, I think we've got to listen to this, just as those instructions were given there for those that live back 70 A.D. that need to flee to the mountains. I think we better listen to this, because I believe it pertains to these moments right now. "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Oh, I'll tell you what, we're talking about a time that is forthcoming, a night that is so dark that no man can work, a time when all normal things perhaps cannot continue. It tells us, yes, here, that this time that there would be false Christs and false prophets, and there would be signs and wonders that would follow them, and it's going to take a lot of people, you know, by deceit. They're going to think, oh, that's wonderful. But it's deceit. And it says in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Oh yes, the Christ has appeared at the UN. Whatever they're going to say, there's going to be, yes, an Antichrist that comes forth. And then, you know, I don't know, he comes out of the temple, or he comes out of the UN, or wherever he is, maybe in the desert. It says, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh, yes, he's going to come. Oh, he's going to come to the skies. Oh, he's going to appear in clouds, as it tells us there. A cloud of witnesses there. And every eye is going to see him. Oh, it's going to be with the sound of the trumpet. Oh, yes. In that great declaration, oh, we're going to know, the world is going to know when our Lord and Savior appears. Oh, yes, behold, he cometh in clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Oh, he is coming in such a way. But oh, yes. In the meantime, we have to be watchful. Oh, yes. We have to have our lamps trimmed and burning. Because, yes, the spirit of deception is tremendously great right now. It tells us in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 7. Well, we better start a little earlier than that. Let's start with verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. See, I've just been talking about those things that Jesus mentioned there in that 24th chapter of Matthew, those things that are coming upon this earth to deceive human beings. But here he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Oh my, we have seen a falling away. Oh yes, I believe it started shortly after Jesus ascended into the heavens, but you know, it has continued. And oh yes, it's getting greater by the moment. There come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? Well, Paul had already disclosed these things to the church at Thessalonica, obviously. But yeah, he talked about this time when, yes, such an individual would appear that, you know, would oppose all that is right, all that is good, and would exalt himself above all that is right and good. Oh, exalt himself even above God. And he would obviously make himself to be God and put himself where he ought not to be. And so it tells us, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know that withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. There was a restraint at that moment. It had not yet happened as Paul was writing this epistle. But he said in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. See, it was already, you know, that sin problem. As we mentioned, as Jesus says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And here he says, iniquity doth already work. Back then, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Well, I'll tell you what, that spirit of iniquity, you know, it was going to work until the end of time, until that wicked one be exposed and be destroyed with the brightness of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. You see here, it goes so along with Matthew 24. This one who is coming forth is going to, you know, confuse people. They're going to think, you know, he's some wonder maker, it sounds like. There's power and signs and lying wonders that follow this individual. Oh, very great spirit of deception. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned to believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Oh, yes. It is so vital. It is so important. Oh, yes, that we look into the Word of God. Oh, that we stick to the Word of God. That we love the Word of God. That we love the truth. That is deep in our hearts. That we hide it in our hearts. Oh, we've got something in this book that is worth living for. We've got something in this book that is worth dying for. Oh, yes, we want to hold it dear. The love of the truth. Because, without that, we could easily be taken up in this deception that's coming upon the face of this earth. Oh, yes, it already abounds in so many ways. Oh, yes, there's deception. Oh, there's trouble. Oh, there's iniquity all over the place right now. And the hardened hearts of people, oh, yes, many of them are already given over to that spirit of Antichrist. Already we know that there are people that have taken chips. Oh, yes, that have marked themselves. Oh, yes, even in this country, even in this state. Oh, yes, in many places otherwise in the world. And yes, we talked about, yes, that neuroscientist, yes, actually his name is Dr. Cerf, I believe, a professor at Northwestern in Evanston, Illinois, and yes, designing a chip, you know, that would be placed in the forehead. Oh, we are seeing these things. That spirit of Antichrist is all around us. Things have been marked for a long time. We've seen 666 on, just almost everything that we buy. And here it is, that strong delusion. Oh, many hearts turning away from God, not holding it dear, the things that are written in this book. That love of the truth that, oh yes, is so absolutely essential. But that's not in your heart. You haven't really given your heart to the Lord. I'm going to tell you, it is so important to give your heart, your soul, your mind, your being to the Lord. Not just a casual relationship. Not just, you know, a few sweet words, but it's got to be deep down inside. It's got to be a surrender to the Lord. I give you my life, Lord. I give you my soul. I give you my mind. Lord, be in me. And, you know, expecting and desiring Him to change us. Oh, yes, that need to be transformed, to be changed, so that we might, live according to His plan, His purpose, His will. But all these words speak strongly here, do they not? That they all might be damned to believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All this reckless attitude. People don't even know what sin is anymore. Oh, it's taken so casually, so lightly. You just hear vain words, you know, people laughing about, you know, their booze and everything else. And, you know, the expectation that everybody would, you know, think the same way. But there is a day that is following, a day that is coming soon. Oh, a day that Jesus warned us of. A day when the night is coming, when no man can work. I do love what is said here in verse 13 here in 2 Thessalonians 2. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Oh, the Spirit and the truth. Oh, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth, Jesus said. God is the Spirit, and they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Oh, we're sanctified. We're made holy. Well, the Spirit of the living God, when He comes to dwell in our very being. Oh, that love of the truth that He puts inside. Oh, we've got to hold to that love of the truth. Oh, yes, otherwise we could be taken in that snare, that trap. Oh, yes, that we are warned of. Oh, we need so desperately to adhere to the things that are written in this book of life. You know, if you look at Revelation, the 13th chapter, and I have a feeling my time is not too much longer here for tonight. But anyway, there is one thing that you see here. If you look at this description of the beast and the second beast that comes upon the face of this earth. Just looking here at verse 11 here in Revelation 13. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Oh, he's going to look mild, but he's going to speak like a dragon. And, you know, it does explain in the 12th chapter of Revelation that the dragon is the old serpent called the devil. And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Oh, yes, that's explained in the 9th verse of chapter 12 of Revelation. But anyway, here it says he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. See, again, there's deception here. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. And look at this, he causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. Oh, yes. That spirit of Antichrist has been in this world for a while, that's for sure. But here it's talking about, yes, this system, and yes, this beast of sorts here that comes forth to do this work. And it's so deceptive that it's going to make all the world to wonder. You know, fire coming down from heaven in the sight of man. He's going to look like some kind of miracle worker. And it's going to be extremely deceptive. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Oh, there's all kinds of images, and there's all kinds of things going on right now. You know, voices that talk, computers, oh boy, cell phones, all kinds of things. You know, Alexa, things that you can buy and put in your home that will talk to you, voices. You know, here we are, this time period, seeing all these things come to pass. Oh, we don't know the day or the hour of our Lord's return. But we see the signs. We see all these indicators. We know that the night is coming when no man could work. And oh, how wise it would be if we would take heed. Oh, if we would give our hearts over to the cause of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because we may not have much time left at all. Oh, we need to get heed while we still can. One more place there quickly, Luke the 21st chapter, verse 34. Luke 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Oh, it's going to deceive many. It's going to be a snare. It's going to be like a trap. It's going to come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36 says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, the great need that we have in this very hour. We've got to give heed to these things that we have heard. We've got to guard our hearts that it would not be overcharged with the cares of this life, with drunkenness, with excesses, with indulgences, with gluttony, all those kind of things that, oh, could be a problem and could cause us to be deceived. Oh, the cares of this life. Well, what a phrase that is. Oh, we need to watch, therefore, and pray always. Oh, the great desire of our heart that we might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, yes, amen. That's where we are right now. We are seeing so many things in this world at this moment. And how important it is that night is coming when no man can work. But now the need is to work while it is day. In other words, to do the will of our God, our Father, which is in heaven, to give heed to these things that we have heard and to watch. Oh, to watch. We are watching. We are waiting. And we're praying all fervently that we might be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, that's our heart's desire. Amen. Oh, yes, we want to be right in the sight of God. Oh, we want to be worthy to stand before Him and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, thou hast been faithful in a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of my Lord. Oh, we want to hear those words, don't we? Oh, yes, because we are all going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ and need to give an account. But praise the Lord, let's all give diligence to the word of life. Oh, let's give our hearts, our soul, our minds to God. Let's not waste another moment, but let's, oh yes, go forth the mission. Jesus, just as Jesus went forth to accomplish His Father's will, let us also go forth to do those things that he asks of us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you'd move in us. Oh, God, I pray that you'd keep us from the evil, Lord. And, oh, God, that you'd talk to us, Lord, that we would not be deceived in this world. Oh, Lord, with all its cunning and devices, all these things that are coming upon us. Help us, Lord. Help us to see and understand. Help us to be diligent. Oh, God, help us to make sure that our calling and election is sure, Lord. Oh, God, in your sight, in your ways, Lord. Oh, God, by your word, help us, Lord. Oh, God, be in us. Fill us mightily with thy spirit. Give us that overcoming strength, I ask, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Pray that we would give heed, that we make our calling and election sure. Praise the Lord, for the night is coming when no man can work. Praise our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, help us, God. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing, we are going to open our hymnals to number 182 and sing When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, 182. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, is called a piano, I'll be there. When the roll is called a piano, when the roll is called a piano, when the road is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Praise the Lord.